Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning, and welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda, and I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. Praise be to God. Let us give a prayer this morning. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. My devotional message for this morning is entitled, I Am Leading You Step by Step. Amen. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, and it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belongs to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. Amen. Praise God. My second scripture reading is coming from Luke chapter 12, verses 25 through 26. And it says, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Amen. Praise God. And my third scripture reading is coming from Psalms 32:8. And it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. The word of the Lord is already blessed. Amen. Praise God. Again, the title of this message is I Am Leading You Step by Step Through Your Life. Hold my hand in trusting dependency, letting me guide you through this day. Your future looks uncertain and feels flimsy, even precarious, excuse me. That is how it should be. Secret things belong to the Lord, and future things are secret things. When you try to figure out your future, you are grasping at things that are mine. This, like all forms of worry, is an act of rebellion, doubting my promises to care for you. Whenever you find yourself worrying about the future, repent and return to me. I will show you the next step forward and the one after that. The one after that. Relax and enjoy the journey in my presence, trusting me to open up the way before you as you go. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen. Let us pray. Our motto comes from James 5:16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. So, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
God. Allow His Spirit to come into your heart.
Thank you. Call Lord Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. With your hands in the air, give up the praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call Lord Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah.
So awesome.
He's a sovereign God.
So wonderful.
He's a sovereign God.
All powerful.
He's a sovereign God. A sovereign God. A sovereign God.
So glorious.
He's a sovereign God.
So righteous.
He's a sovereign God.
Victorious.
He's a sovereign God. A sovereign God. A sovereign God.
So awesome.
He's a sovereign God.
So wonderful.
He's a sovereign God.
All powerful.
He's a sovereign God. A sovereign God. A sovereign God.
So glorious.
He's a sovereign God.
So righteous.
He's a sovereign God.
Victorious.
He's a sovereign God. A sovereign God. A sovereign God.
Get up and worship him.
Amen. Praise be to God. He's a sovereign God. Okay, my scripture reading for this morning is coming from Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 2, 4. That's Habakkuk 1. 1 through 2, 4. Praise God. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. Where it says, praise God. Habakkuk's complaint. This is the message that the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery wherever I look? I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. The Lord's reply. The Lord replied, look around at the nation. Look and be amazed, for I am doing something in your own day, something you would not believe, even if someone told you about it. I am raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. They will march across the world and conquer other lands. They are notorious for their cruelty and do whatever they like. Their horses are swifter than cheetahs and fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their charities charge from far away like eagles. They swoop down to devour their prey. On they come
all bent on violence. Their horrors advance like a desert wind, sweeping captives ahead of them like sand. They scoff at kings and princes and scorn all their fortresses. They simply pile ramps of earth against their walls and capture them. They sweep past like the wind and are gone, but they are deeply guilty, for their own strength is their God. Habakkuk's second complaint in verse 12. O Lord my God, my Holy One, you are eternal. Surely you do not plan to wipe us out. O Lord, our rock, you have sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for many things, many sins. But you are pure and cannot stand the sight of evil. Will you wink at their treachery? Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? Are we only fish to be caught and killed? Are we only sea creatures that have no leader? Must we be strung up on their hooks and caught in their nets while they rejoice and celebrate? Then they will worship their nets and burn incense in front of them. These nets are the gods who have made us rich, they will claim. Will you let them get away with this forever? Will they succeed forever in their heartless conquest? Chapter 2, verse 1. I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. The Lord's second reply. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. And verse 4, look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. The word of the Lord is already blessed. Amen. Praise be to God. So a contemporary of Jeremiah, Habakkuk was a prophet doing fateful days for Judah. Nineveh had been destroyed, and the Babylon was ascending as the dominating world power. Josiah, Judah's last good king, was dead, and his weak and wicked son, Jehoiakim, was on the throne. Only two or three decades of Judah's existence as a nation remained when Habakkuk began to write. Habakkuk was one of three prophets used of God to pronounce the doom of the three outstanding enemies of God's people. In the prophecy of Obadiah, the fate of Edom is sealed. Nahum toiled the meal over Assyrians. God showed Habakkuk that Babylon was digging her own grave. Hence, the focus of Habakkuk's problem and prophecy is Babylon. All the prophets were conscious of divine inspiration. Their work demonstrates it. Yet this does not erase their individuality, but leaves ample room for it. Habakkuk is unique in this respect. Unlike the other prophets, he does not address either his or his own countrymen or a foreign people. His words are for God alone, autobiographical in favor. His prophecy is primarily concerned with solving a problem. His inability to understand God's government of the nations vexed his own sensitive soul. Obviously familiar with the work of Amos and Moses, Habakkuk was bewildered by a third book that was constantly before his eyes, the Book of Life. To Habakkuk, the declared promises of God, on the one hand, and the experience of life on the other, seem hopelessly at variance. Why did the Book of Life seem to contradict the Book of God? The trial of Habakkuk. Faith sprang out of the times. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Habakkuk got his answer in the keynote of the whole book, expressed somewhat in oracle fashion by the words, "The just shall live by his faith." So significant are these words that they are quoted 3 times in the New Testament. And you will find it in Romans 1 and 17, Galatians 3 and 11, Hebrews 10 and 38. Luther made them the watchword of the Reformation. Habakkuk found faith to be the golden key that brought deliverance to the believer imprisoned in the dungeon of doubt. In his 3 chapters, he goes from a sob to a song, from a cry of doubt to a rapturous song of trust. 3 progressive steps correspond exactly with the chapter division. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes, Lord, our lives are dull and drab, but we are convinced that is not what you want for us. Help us to be open to the joy that you bring to our lives. Help us not to be preoccupied with our own manufactured and counterfeit joy. The offering we cheerfully bring to you now are the results of the joy we have come to know. We will be able to give more when we learn to glory in your joy. In the name of Jesus, the joy bringer, we pray. Now, Lord God, move self out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord. Amen. Tonight, this morning, my message is short and divided into 3 parts, amen, or 3 chapters. And my text for this message is coming from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, where it says, "The just shall live by his faith. And my title this morning is Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Give me 1 second, please. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for allowing me that short space of time. So my title for this message is Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. Now we find in chapter 1, we see the problem for faith. The prophet stated his problem. O Jehovah, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? I cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Habakkuk 1 and 2 in the ASV. And also you can read verses 3 through 4. So these verses are a complaint regarding international conditions in Judah. But Habakkuk's problem was God's silence, inactivity, and apparent unconcern. Violence abound. Lawlessness was rife. Blatant evils defiled all the protests of God's prophets. And God seemed to be doing nothing. So Habakkuk felt. With implicit faith in God's goodness came the difficulties of reconciling a bad world with a good God. But God never strifes the sincere questioner. He gave more light. The prophet's query was answered by a word from God. Behold, ye among the nations, and look and wonder marvelously, for I am working a work in your days, which ye shall not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation that march through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. And you'll find that in Habakkuk 1, 5 through 6 in the ASV Bible. Amen. And you can also read verses 7 through 11. So to Habakkuk, the solution was worse than the problem. The punishment coming to Judah was deserved. But why should God punish Judah by means of a people far more ruthless than Judah themselves? Now, this seemed hard to reconcile with his belief in God's righteous government over the nation of the earth. The moral problem before the prophet, how God could silently look upon wrong and inhumanity, was not ceased, but intensified. The prophet appeared further to God concerning his problems. Art not thou from everlasting, O Jehovah my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Jehovah. Thou hast ordained him for judgment, and thou, O Rock, hast established him for correction. Chaldee was only God's instrument. The prophet was overwhelmed. It was not that the punishment overweighed the offender. It was rather that the Holy One, righteous though his judgment were stood, permitted a heathen nation to work his cruel will upon the elect. Wherefore lookst thou upon them that deal treacherously and holdest thy peace when the wicked swallows up the man that is more righteous than he? Habakkuk was to learn that chastening is not necessary a denial of the divine law. It may be proof of it. But by the fires of war, the nation was to be refined. Yet like gold in a crucial, a crumble, merely the drought would be consumed. Keeping this in mind will help us understand not only the times of the prophet, but also our own time. In chapter 2, we see the pledges of faith. Habakkuk decided to await God's word. He said in 2:1 in the ASV Bible, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will look forth to see what he will speak with me and what shall I answer concerning my complaint. Isolation does not always yield a full answer of life's questions. But there is such a thing as the detachment of the exalted life. And so it is here. The prophet's vision was wonderful, offering a solution not in the logical sense, but a spiritual solution intangible to faith. In this chapter, God gave two great pledges. In verse 4 in the ASV, he said, we read, behold his soul, the cherubim, is puffed up. It is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So these words look beyond the body to the soul. At the first half of the sentence would indicate the word soul betokens the deeper sense in which we are to read the latter half. The just shall live by faith. These words look beyond the outward to the inward. Amen. Beyond the physical to the spiritual. And beyond the present to the future, beyond the immediate to the ultimate, God's estimate of the cherubim was correct. Though God used him to chastise his people, the cherubim's soul was all wrong, and he himself would be brought to woe in the end. But the just shall never perish. In chapter 2, verse 14, we read, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as waters cover the sea. This word of Habakkuk is one of the most prophetic prophets prolific in the Old Testament, so it must be read in the light of the New. If we are to grasp its full meaning, those who by faith in Christ are justified or made righteous do live by their faith in that day. Receive new spiritual life here and now. These words have not yet been fulfilled, but await the return of Christ to this earth and the consummation of his kingdom. The controversies of history will be resolved in the vindication of the right and true. God's word through Habakkuk is, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not be delayed. Now in chapter 3, we see the products of faith. Now this chapter, which begins a prayer of Habakkuk, is a subline rhapsody of faith. It may be understood as a poem or psalm on the text. The just shall live by his faith, 2 and 4. There are three parts of the prayer, three products produced by faith. The prayer begins with an appeal to God to grant a gracious rival in the midst of the years in verse 2. The prayer does not suggest time limits on God, but before his ultimate purpose for his history has worked out to its final fulfillment, it will he in his mercy and grace grant revival to his people. From verse 3 to verse 15, there is a glorying in God's mighty doing in the past. This includes God's coming forth for the emancipation of Israel, his marvelous from the time of the Exodus onward. Here are two products of faith: praise for the past and confidence for the future. There is one more. In verses 16 through 19, we have a postlude in which faith soars on wings above all doubts and fears. Though the prophet be brought to utmost destitution, still he says, yet I will rejoice in Jehovah. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And that's in verse 18. In the ASV. So how can you defeat a faith like that? And my conclusion is, the applicable message of this prophecy is clear. Faith had its problems then. It has them now. If Habakkuk's time seemed draped with dark engines, even more so our own. But the book tells us not to judge merely by the appearance of the hour. God has given us great promises. He is working out great purposes. All we have to do is wait for him Amen. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it was to me. The just shall live by faith. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayers. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. But it doesn't stop there. You pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible teaching church. Amen? That's all you have to do. And my benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 through 25. And it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. We're just running a little bit behind schedule, but, you know, God is good. So at this time, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry. And following that, our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry will come with our talk in the sanctuary. Amen. So we're going to welcome them with a hand clap praise. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Blessed, thank you. Praise God.
I'll be reading a poem from The Profundity of God, my book, a spiritual anthology in poetry, and it's entitled, Thank You, Lord, Thank You, for the sunshine and the rain, for the heartache and the pain, for things I just don't understand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing me the way when all I wanted to do was have my way. I know you have a purpose, a plan in my life for me. You order my steps. You guide my feet. You really look out for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for just being who you are and loving me, protecting me, providing for me, and allowing me to go far. I know that without you, it could not have been, and it will not be done. I'm not finished. It's not complete. I may face some defeat, but you're my guiding star. I'll hold on to your hand. It's you. You have the plans to guide me, to make this journey smooth. I know you can. I know you will. I've seen you show and prove. Have your way, Lord. I wait. Take your time. I'm leaning and depending on you, Jesus. You did it before. You're doing it now. And you will continue to do. So, Lord, thank you for doing it. Lord, thank you just for being you. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. That was beautiful.
Absolutely. Oh, God bless you. Beautiful. To God be the glory. Thank you.
All the glory. And now, our very own Pastor Kathy DuVos from Led by God's Christian Ministry is going to come with our talk in the sanctuary. And again, we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Kathy. How are you this morning?
Doing awesome, thank you. God bless you guys. That was awesome, Sister Barbara.
Yes.
I guess it was meant for me to get on in here. I haven't been on in a while.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Yeah, you take time with that. That's a gift.
Oh,
to
God
be
bless
able
you.
To just flow. You know, when you flow like that, and you, I don't know if anybody else can tell. When you're doing poetry, you're hearing the heart of that person because they got to dig deep within to pull that stuff out of them. You know, that comes from God. That's beautiful. I've heard some poetry, and I'm going, where you get that from? That's no poetry. Now, I have heard some poetry that does not rhyme, but it's intense. You listen to it and go, wow, right? It's mm-hmm. profound. Even though it doesn't rhyme, it's profound. So sometimes it doesn't rhyme. It doesn't mean that because it rhymes that it's good. No, you got to listen to those words to me in it, right? And so I've heard some that didn't rhyme, and they were so profound. And you go, oh, my God, wow, that's deep. And I've heard some where people say, this is poetry. And you go, where you get that from? Oh, no, get out of here. So I know that that's a gift for someone to be able to come forth with poetry that way. You know, David, King Solomon, it was a gift, something that God instilled in them. Because you can listen to what Sister Barbara is saying and hear God coming out of it. Because everything points back, everything she says points back to our loving him, our trusting him, are depending on him. And then at the end of the day, being able to go back to him and say, thank you. Nobody did this but you, God. So you can hear in those words that that's what it's leading to. It's trying to get us to appreciate everything he does. And in her poetry, she's coming out saying, Lord, we recognize that you did this, and you did this, and you teach us this, and you help us with this. And at the end of the day, all we can say is thank you. And even if we say it 10,000 times, we're still just saying thank you, God. Thank you. And I promise you, he's sitting there and he's going, they're getting it. They're starting to get it. Because if you look at if you look at the 10 lepers, ran off, they all got cleansed, and only one came back to say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So you understand the value of saying thank you to God.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Amen.
Yeah. He wants to know you appreciate what he's just done. And you recognize that it was him. So thank you, Sister Barbara, for taking the time to always hear from God and come forth with your poetry. It is a There's a lot of meat in here. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing?
Oh,
I gotta tell you, 15 minutes ago, I was laying in my bed counting. Yes, I was. And then You know, the Holy Ghost, I'm trying to tell you, whoever say they don't have the Holy Ghost, you got to look at them and go, well, do you have Jesus? Well, how do you have him without his brother, without his sister, without his mother, without his cousin? Because you understand, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they're one. So how do you have one without the other?
You can't.
So, oh yeah. I ain't going to lie. Some people do. Some people are in a relationship with Jesus, because I've seen it. And you get up and you go, wow, I've had God in my life for so many years. And then you look at them again. So, because that's what Paul said. So when did you receive the Holy Ghost? The who? The Holy Ghost. Oh, we got John the Baptist teaching. We didn't know nothing about no Holy Ghost. Because Paul said, have you received him since you believed? So it's possible for people to believe and still not know of the Holy Ghost. Because guess what? They got to be taught that he exists. And then they got to be taught with understanding so they can embrace it. You know how many people say, yeah, apostolics, them holy rollers, they speak in tongues, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, but they don't explain the tongue.
Right.
So even though a lot of people have heard about tongues, they don't understand it. And because they don't understand it, they don't embrace it. But they go on. They go on living as a Christian. They believe, they saved and everything. So you can go that long and not know. Ooh, yeah, that's what I gotta say. That that's what most preachers say. That's like being in a room and you got light, but you ain't turned the switch on yet. So you remain in darkness. You don't know everything that comes with being in a relationship with Christ. Just the simple fact that you don't have to walk this walk alone. He sent the Holy Ghost. If you heard the word has told us. He told the disciples, don't do anything until I send the comforter back, because he's going to come back and give you power so you can do all these things. You have understanding. And so they couldn't make a move until the Holy Ghost came upon them, right? So they could do it in a manner that was pleasing unto God. And a lot of people don't understand. You got to receive the Holy Ghost. And he's talking. Don't get me wrong. When you get baptized, you get saved, you receive Christ, and you get baptized in Jesus' name, guess what? The Holy Ghost is a gift just freely given to you. You ain't got to sit there and go, oh, let me see if I want it or not. I'll take them tomorrow, not today. No, because Christ already know, in order to receive me and to live the life that I need you to live so you can get into the kingdom where I am, you need the Spirit of God to direct you. So he knows the importance of you having him. So it's a gift. He gives them to you freely. You just got a gift for Christmas that you didn't open up yet. That's all. But you got the gift. You just didn't open it. Ooh, that's for another time.
That's a good sermon.
Ooh, that's good. So anyhow, but I am so grateful to be here today. I'm so thankful to all of you ladies on the line. Thankful for what God is continuing to do through Sister Barbara, what he's continuing to do through Evangelist Hilda, and all of his other workers. He has so many workers out there in the vineyard. Oh, my God, it's awesome. Yeah, so thank God, you know. If you think God ain't moving, start looking around the vineyard. And when you start looking around and you start seeing apple trees and grapes and oranges and milk and chicken, and you say God ain't moving, who you think is doing all that?
Okay.
Come on now.
Amen.
Cow didn't just wake up the next day saying, oh, I think I can produce milk. No. Oh, I think I'll give them a steak. No. No. God put that stuff there for us. Yeah, that's the harvest. All of that is part of the harvest so we can eat. He made it so we could have plentiful, but a lot of times we don't have plentiful because we don't understand what is accessible to us, what we have access to. We don't realize we got a lot of things we ain't using. Ooh, I'll save that for another time. I got to get back into the rest of it. Ooh, thank you guys for joining in today. Good morning. Good Saturday afternoon. And guess what? It's the last Saturday of the month. My goodness. February came in and just blew on through. I know it's a short month. Well, it's only short by a couple of days. But my goodness, it came in and left. It was like, oh, hello, you don't want me, you gotta go. Wow, you was just here. Yeah, that's to let you know time don't wait on no man. No, it doesn't. It keeps going. Whether you're enjoying the time or not, time is still moving. It don't wait on you. So anyway, thank you, precious and heavenly Father. We thank you today because you are here in our lives. You are watching over us. You are keeping us. You are providing for us. You are delivering us. You are doing everything that we allow you to do. And for that, we say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father God, right now we're getting ready to get into this discussion, and we pray that you will continue to lead and guide us in the manner that is pleasing unto you, that everything we do, say, think about, is done in a manner that is loving and concerned about, ooh, that's another thing I need to talk about, for others, oh God. We bless you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you continue to do. And above all else, we do say thank you. We appreciate you. We love you. We honor and adore you, Father God, just for being who you are and all of your glory. God bless you. Amen, 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 in Jesus' name. Here we go. We give honor to all of the leaders, all of the fivefold leaders. We thank God for Evangelist Hilda, the host. Thank God for her patience, her persistence in making sure this program is available to everybody. Whether you choose to take advantage of it or not, she still makes it available. So we thank God for her diligence in making sure that the program gets up and running, that the people that's supposed to be on it is on it, and things is going on. Because I know she be sending me those texts, Pastor Kathy, where are you? Pastor Kathy, where are you? Pastor Kathy. So, you know, that ain't easy. I ain't lying. You might think, what's so hard about that? Yeah, try doing it to 12 people. Sister Laura, where are you? Brother Smith, where are you? Brother John, where are you? You know, you're trying to keep over with everybody that's supposed to be on your program. Then you see how much effort it takes, because it does take effort, right? So we thank God for our very own Evangelist Hilda and her willingness to do the will of the Lord, you know, to keep the program up and running, especially for those that are on the radio, on the internet, and you can't hear from them, but she sees the numbers, so she knows they're there. So we thank God that they have a platform, because a lot of people don't want to participate. They just want to hear, and that's okay, you know, as long as they're hearing it and allowing it to take effect in their lives. That's all that matters. So we thank God for her. We thank God for our very own Sister Barbara. Because I'm telling you, you got to be diligent. I know I'm in her shoes. Yes, I'm in her shoes. Because you got to be diligent to get your poetry together and get on the line and say, ooh, I'm getting ready to share poetry. And at the end of the day, you know it's just you and one other person. So it has to be a passion, something you do just to glorify God. whether you have an outside audience or not, you always got God. He's listening, right?
That's right.
So we thank God for her diligence. She's always on here bringing forth her poetry. And then what's happening is it's blessing her. You know, as she blesses God, it's blessing her because God is opening up other doors for her to be able to go forth, have a platform to share with other people. Yeah. So it's not being done in vain. Someone is listening. Trust me, they're listening. It's good stuff. And so we thank God for her. We thank God for Apostle Mother Wiggin. I do miss hearing her little voice on the line. Was she out there enjoying the sunshine? That's like that person that's been on the desert and they had no water. When they get to that fountain, oh, my God, you can't stop them from drinking. They just drinking and drinking because they look back at you and go, huh, you don't know what it is to not have it. And you go, okay, but you got it now. Yeah, well, I'm going to enjoy it while I do got it. And she got her sunshine, I'm trying to tell you. So we bless God. We know that she's still walking in the ways of the Lord. So we thank God and we pray continued strength for her and all the others that have come and gone. We thank God for Apostle Jackson, Dr. Burlington. All of these people started out with us, and then they went off to other things that God is having them to do. So we continue to pray for them because they're still doing the work of the Lord, right?
Amen.
There's some part in the vineyard out there doing what God has put before them to do in this hour, in this season. So thank God for all of them. We thank God for Pastor Stephen DuBose. You know,
yes.
We bless God for him. I believe he's in the other room listening. I'm not sure if he's on or not, but he was getting up. I'm telling you, just a minute ago, we both was laying here talking about, you still asleep? Yeah, you? Yeah. So we went off, and the Holy Ghost said, well, you can't sleep anymore. You got to get up. I said, oh, wow, what kind of day is it? It was like 15 minutes ago. So we bless God. And that's why I have to value the voice of the Holy Ghost. Because without him, how can you walk this walk? You can't really walk this walk without him, because guess what? As long as you in this flesh is not always going to want what God wants for us. This flesh has a mind of its own. This flesh want to do what it wants to do, and God is trying to... So we have to have the Holy Ghost because he's trying to balance things out for us. Yeah, I know you want to do this, but this ain't good for you. Yeah, I know you want to do this, but this ain't... Yeah, you want to do... Okay, this is good for you. You can do that. Mm-hmm. I want to do... Okay, that's good. You can do that. Because he's our teacher. He's our convictor. He, you know, he keeps us connected to the Father. Yeah, so we bless God for him. Thank God for any other listeners, whether you're on the internet or whatever, because everything God gives us is good, good, good.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to stay connected if you want to live this life, knowing that when it's all over with, you got a better life coming. Because if you don't, you're going to live this life, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You're done at the end of the day. Ain't no more life for you. Ooh, I don't want to stay down here, go through all this and get there, see everybody else walking into their mansion, and they saying, bye, Kathy, bye. And I'm looking on, what? I want to go too.
How did you get in?
Decision down there to go. You don't make the decision up here. You make it down there. And then you'll get rewarded up there. Okay, last week we were talking about addictions. And I got a couple of things that I want to share with you guys. Let me read this real quick. It says that believers must not depend upon alcohol. Okay, we always hit the alcohol and the drugs. But there's other things, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and it stands to reason that this would also apply to addiction to any other substance, drugs, pornography, gambling, gluttony, tobacco, etc. Oh, my goodness. And then it says that the definition of addiction is to occupy oneself with or involve oneself in something habitually or compulsively. Wow. So it is wrong to be addicted to anything other than God, because God says, you will have no other God before me. Mm-hmm. When you're addicted, whatever you are addicted to, and that could be love, it could be money, it could be shopping, anything that you put before God, because if you're addicted, you craving that thing, you doing that thing over and over and over, it becomes a habit. And it says that an addiction is anything to occupy, involve yourself in habitually. The only thing we ought to be making a habit of is reading the Bible. Come on now. Yeah. These other habits. Now, let me take that back. Thank you, Holy Ghost. There are some good habits, you know, because, like, some people say, well, she got a habit of getting up in the morning and singing. Yeah, she get up, you know, you see the old lady getting up and they hemming, doing their hymns first thing in the morning, you know. You know, anything you do over and over again becomes habit for me.
Yes.
But you've got to know when your habit is an addiction, because it becomes compulsive. You got to have it. You just cannot do without it, you know. And you liable to hurt somebody to get it. That's, I used to have that. I used to have that with gambling. Now, the funny part is, the only time I knew I had it is if I went to Atlantic City or someplace where they had slot machines. Mm-hmm. Then I knew I had to have it, because I get on the slot machines, and I promise you, if I got anything on me, it's going in that slot machine. Don't let me have an ATM card, because it won't be worth nothing by the time I leave there. You know, then I run up to the people that I came with. Come on, do you have a dollar? Come on. And they say, get out of here. Look at you. What's wrong with you? Stop it. What happened to all your money? I don't worry about my money. Just, are you going to give me the $5 or not?
No.
The one time I went there, and I had my sister-in-law with me, and my old sister-in-law, she passed away, and so did the marriage. But my sister-in-law was with me, and I had given her $50 or something like that. I said, no matter what I do, do not give this money back to me. She said, okay, like, what you going to do? I said, I get crazy in here. I'm trying to tell you, don't listen to me. She said, okay. So she goes her way and I go my way, because she's sitting there getting the free drinks and stuff. And I'm talking soda, because she didn't drink. You know, you get all the soda you want and a couple of cups of nuts or something they give you. So she getting all the free stuff. I'm over there going crazy with the slots. Oh, Lord, I'm pulling 2, 3 at one time. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
What?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, you were addicted.
I was crazy. Then I run through there like a mad person. And I find her. I said, give me my money.
Mm-mm.
So get out of here. No. I said, what did I tell you? Give me my money. She said, no, get out of here. You're not getting no money. I said, look, don't make me punch you in the face. Give me my money. And she was like, what is wrong with you? No. So I grabbed her in the back. I said, you gonna get... She said, look at you. What? You ain't lying. You get crazy in here. You're not getting no money. I said, you know what? If you don't get my money right now. So needless to say, I used some choice words because I was crazy. And she said, oh, you could do whatever you want to do and say whatever you want, because I left the money on the bus. I said, you lying. You did not leave my money on the bus. She said, yes, I did. It's in my backpack. I said, you left the money on the bus in your backpack. Where's the driver? Now I'm looking for the driver so I can go crazy on him to get the money.
Mm-mm.
I can't even find the driver. Driver's someplace sleeping. I'm looking. I come back to her. I said, you know what? You lying. Because how you going to eat if you don't got no money? She said, I'm not getting you no money. I started rustling her up. Oh, my God. And I'm telling you, I had an addiction to that slot machine. Mm-hmm. And my kids can tell you, I have snuck my babies in there. Snuck them in there and said, y'all sit here, eat your peanuts and stuff. I'll be right back, okay? Okay, Mommy. 8, 9 years old. Well, one was 8 and one was 12.
Yeah, you were addicted.
One was 8 and one was 12, so I was hiding them. I said, we going over there to eat at the buffet. And so I'm running through there just again. So thank God. God said, take them in there and let them sit down to the buffet table. Because everybody could come in to eat. You just can't go to the slot side of you, not under 18. So I took them in there and let them eat. And of course, they're eating themselves silly. I said, okay, I'll be right back. So I go in there and I'm playing the slots. Oh, my God. I had $2,000 or whatever. Just, whoo, Herman Monster was just kicking out the money. You know? I get all those water. I had so much money. And ask me how I did it, I don't know. When I walked away from that machine, I had nothing. Not a 5 cent, not a quarter, nothing. Now I'm trying to think, what am I going to tell my kids? I'm like, oh, God, oh, God. The only thing I could think of was, thank you, God, that you let them eat. Because I would have spent that money, too. So I know you could be addicted to things other than just alcohol and drugs.
Absolutely.
You got people addicted to pornography, you know. And you got guys saying, I don't like porn. I just like women's legs.
What?
I'm sorry? I just like to look at women's legs. Huh. So that has to do with the human body. So that's part of pornography. No, I just like their legs. Okay, something wrong with you. Okay, oh. But the thing that I'm trying to get at is the fact that God is saying, here's the question. Can identifying these types of addiction, can by identifying our behavior to know that we have an addiction, can this help us to fight it? It says, identifying types of addictions can help you to fight them off. The first thing is to acknowledge that it is an addiction. Because some people don't recognize things as addiction. Okay? You've got to recognize it's an addiction because it's doing something to your behavior. It's causing you to react in ways you wouldn't normally do. You're going over and beyond like I did with my sister-in-law trying to get my money. I already hurt that girl. I was like, oh, you, give me my money, give me my money. And she didn't give me my money.
You told her under no circumstances to give it to you.
Yeah,
so why
would
you
want
to hurt
crazy
her?
Like that? Just throw the money, like, throw the money at her and get rid of them. Don't stay there trying to raffle with them. I thought when she see me get like that, she see the beast come out of me. If the beast come out, get a beast the money.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, because the beast getting ready to hurt you.
Well, then?
Because the beast is not thinking clearly. The beast could hurt you.
Mm.
Yeah, that's how you know you're an addict. You're addicted to something. This compulsive behavior, all this stuff is letting you know, oh, this is the good part. This is what I got to let y'all know. You know what? Inside our Bible, it says those who are addicted or given much to wine or drunkards or stuff like that are disqualified from teaching or holding positions of authority in the church. Because clearly, church leadership needs you to be sober and self-controlled. Mm-hmm. How can you teach others if you yourself are not in control of yourself?
Mm-hmm. All right.
You know what? A lot of people don't even think about that.
No.
Because they think, oh, she's such an awesome teacher. He's such an awesome teacher. He's such an awesome preacher. She's mm-hmm. such an awesome preacher. Da, 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 da. And okay, you know when you see that person, they sweating all the time. You know, alcohol comes out of your pores. You start sweating. For no reason, you just sweating. Right? So, so drugs, same thing. You all geary-eyed and, you know. Although some people, they can perform a little better when they're drunk or on alcohol because it gives them some kind of confidence. I don't know. But guess what? The Bible says we are not to let these people teach or hold positions of authority. If you are aware that this person is on drugs and alcohol, pornography, gambling, gluttony, cigarettes, whatever they are addicted to, whatever is causing this compulsive behavior, guess what? These are not people you consider for leadership.
No, because
and you know what?
That they have those habits. So why would you even put them in authority?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, okay, help me, Holy Ghost. If I tell you, okay, Sister Barbara, you know I like to lie, right? I don't mean no harm, but little white lies, all right, ain't it? I mean, I'm just lying. I ain't doing nothing to hurt nobody. All I'm doing is lying. And then I come to you next week and say, Sister Barbara, I want to see if I can get on the choir with you guys. What's Sister Barbara's reaction going to be? Well, you're a compulsive liar. Why would we put you up before people in a place of worship at that, knowing that when you don't make the rehearsal, you're going to lie about it? If you come there, you're going to lie about everything because you just told me you're a liar. But
right, so you know that person is unreliable, so why would you even consider putting them in the group?
Exactly. So if a guy comes to you and he's swinging his arm like a woman and he's talking with a high pitch like a woman, you sense that there's some issues there. And he's looking at, girl, you know. And someone else comes up to him, and rather than calling him a man, they'll go, girl, you better know. I ain't trying to deal with all that. And you're looking around going, I'm the only other girl here, but you're talking to him. So if you can see that this person is gay, but guess what? They are so gifted. We just got to put them over the choir because they're gifted. God wouldn't have gifted them this way if he didn't intend to use them. Well, I got a problem with that because he said, you know, this kind of behavior right here, you're not fit to be in leadership or place of authority. So why would you do that? Because guess what? The only thing you're going to teach me about is what you're doing, right? Now, I've had a man come in, and when I say he was gifted, he was like John C. Key gifted to get the choir to do what he needed to do, and he could sing and play that piano like you wouldn't believe. And he came and told our pastor, he said, I know you guys need help with the choir and the praise thing. I'm offering you my services for free. He said, I'm going to do it for free. I just know you need the help. And, you know, we already know you gifted like John C. Key. And she said, no, Not at this time. We don't need that right now. And the ministers are going crazy because they're like, what's going on, Pastor? What you doing? Come on now. He's going to do it for free. Pastor said, I would rather pay someone who is approved by God to do the work of God than to get someone that supposedly is free when I know what kind of lifestyle he's living. Because he was gay. But here's the thing. She said, guess what's going to happen? When he gets in that choir and he starts doing all the things that he do, because he was open with it, all of our young men are going to think it's okay to swing their arm, to do all this. And the girl, she said, everything that looks free is not always free. It's going to cost us. It's going to cost us the lifestyle of our young men. And I'm not going to put them under that leadership. But then she stood up, and guess what she said? She said, I only offered that explanation because I knew y'all didn't know. Well, she says, I need to let y'all know something. I don't have to explain why I do what I do. When God tells me to do something and I'm the shepherd of this house, I'm going to do it. I don't owe you no explanation. You're not the shepherd. You're the sheep. God has put me in charge over your life. Now, if y'all see me doing something ungodly, gladly vote me out of here. But until then, God is my teacher. And as long as he's teaching me right from wrong, what to use, what not to use, that's what I'm going to do. I am accountable to God before I'm accountable to you. Because my accountability to God is to look out for you, even when y'all don't even know y'all need to be looked out for. I'm like, wow, okay. I never asked her, because I could see. Every time she looked at her, I could see her face cringing. Like, oh, I can't allow that straight up in here. Not in no leadership position.
Wow.
And you go to choirs and you see them. So where do we get to the point that we compromise God's standards because we think the person is so gifted? God is the one that gave him the gift, right?
Right.
And God is also the one that gave him a choice how he was going to use the gift. Are you going to use it in the world or are you going to use it with me? And when I say in the world, I mean your lifestyle says you're not using it with me because you're gay. So you're not using the gift for me. You're using the gift against me. And if you think that that's not true, look at Lucifer. Lucifer has the gift.
Yes.
But Lucifer thought, oh, well, now I'm God. You got to go. Okay, it ain't for one God up in here. Now, why did I use Lucifer? Because Lucifer was top worshiper. That lets us know God has standards. If he did not let that angel stay in there because he wanted to be him, he wanted to do things his way, guess what? When you're gay, when you're a liar, when you're a thief, or whatever you are, guess what? You're saying to God, I want to do things my way. And God is saying, since you want to do things your way and you have a choice, so you can choose to do things your way, you cannot walk this way. Jesus said, I'm the only way. So as long as you're walking that way, you can't walk two ways at the same time. You can't be going left and right at the same time, can you? No.
Impossible.
You're either going to go left or you're going to go right. You ain't no genie. You can't go two different directions at the same time. God is trying to let us see about these addictions because we want to lower the standard because we think someone is gifted, we want to lower the standard to get them in there. But God is saying, but I'm the one that gifted them. And if I say they don't come in, they don't come in. So right. If he puts it in my spirit, yeah, Kathy, I know Sally's gifted, but Sally cannot join the leadership team right now. Guess what he said right now? Yeah. You know why?
Because
she's leaving room for restoration. She can change.
Right.
But if she doesn't have a change of heart, then she stays where she's at until she does. So he never says they cannot do or don't put them in leadership band. That's it. No, right now. And that's what I have to say. This is not what we need right now.
Mm-hmm.
So should you go somewhere and get a change of heart and God speaks to you and you embrace him and you make the change, then we'll revisit it.
Right.
But right now, no, not right now, not in that condition. Kathy, you a thief, but you want to be over the church finances? Not right now, Kathy. You're not ready. Right? So all of these things God is teaching us is because we don't even realize we're slowly drifting in a different direction. If you ever want to see something go slow, go out there and sit by the ocean or the sea or somewhere out there, and like in San Diego, California. You can sit out there by the water, and you see those boats out there moving, and you look and going, dang, they don't even look like they're moving at all.
Right.
But they're moving. They just don't look like they're moving. You're going, that big old ship. How is it moving? It doesn't look like it's moving. And you turn around and you start playing cards and you start skating or doing whatever. And you turn back and you go, where's the ship?
It's a
and
pod.
They go, there it is, way down there. And they go, that ain't the same ship.
Yes, it is.
And they go, there was only one ship out there. And you go, how did it get way down there? Because even though, oh my goodness, that's some good stuff right there. Even though it was moving slowly, it was still moving.
That's right.
And even though you're slowly drifting in the wrong direction, you're still going in the wrong direction. And you won't notice it until you get way out there and you look back and go, how did I get all the way out here? I started out with one little lie. Next thing you know, I went to a club. Next thing you know, I start drinking. I start stealing. So you way over here now, and God is right where you left him.
You're addicted.
And you don't know that you have drifted away because it was a slow move.
Yes.
You were moving slowly in the wrong direction. Nevertheless, you were moving.
Wow.
And when you catch yourself, you are so far out there, you go, oh, my God, how did I get out here doing all this stuff? This is not who I am. Aren't you glad God has the ability to make your crooked path straight again?
Yes.
Because he does. He can make that crooked path straight. Yeah. He can bring you back on in.
Yes.
You know? The part that I love about God is when you first start with some of these topics, you don't see where God is going. You know that it's enlightening, it's educating us, but you don't see that God is really trying to take us somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to let us see how the enemy can get you in there and get you moving in that direction slowly, but you're still moving in the wrong direction. I was watching, y'all know how I am about my cartoon. I was watching them early this morning when I got up. VeggieTales, right?
VeggieTales.
Oh, yeah. They come on at 8:30 in the morning on TVN.
Oh.
VeggieTales. Now, here's the thing. I get up, watch VeggieTales, then I go back to sleep. Mm-hmm. VeggieTales, the little, I love it because they're all vegetables. Broccoli, tomato, you know, carrots. They're vegetables.
Yeah.
So they're trying to encourage the kids to eat vegetables, that they're a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought him out of VeggieTales. So the VeggieTales says, he says, what are you doing? She says, oh, I was just looking at him not doing the right thing. And he says, why are you looking at him? She said, because he's not doing right. He's hurting her. And so the VeggieTales says, you know what the Bible says? And she says that he's doing the wrong thing. And so he looks at her and goes, no, you are. She said, no, not me, him. No, you are. He said, do you know that the Bible says when you know to do right and you don't do it, it's a sin? So if you know that what he's doing is wrong and you don't stop him, now you're in the same boat as him. She says, but I'm not doing anything. I'm just watching him doing it. Well, that's wrong, too, because you're not stopping him. A lot of times, it's not always what we do. Sometimes it's what we don't do.
Yes.
Because if you know to do right and you don't do it, you're not doing it, but it's a sin because you know to do it. Right? Now, if you walking up the street and you see somebody beating on somebody, and you go, dang, they're beating that person down, and you keep on going, why wouldn't you stop and try to help them? And I know people go, shoot, some people got guns and knives and things. I ain't getting involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where's the love that God talks about? Love is unselfish. You can't, you know, in a split second, you can't think about that. You got to look at that person that's getting beat up and jump in there and do whatever you can to help them.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
That's what God is looking for us to do. He's looking for us to do that. And I know you say a lot of people do, and then they get hurt. Okay. Mm-hmm. But what's God going to get you for? You getting hurt or you not doing nothing at all to help them? Okay, let me take you to the extreme. Here's a lady. She's walking, trying to cross the street, but she's blind. She got the little sticks. She can't see. And she get ready to step into the street, and you see that car coming. Are you going to stand and go, oh, she's going to get hit? Or are you going to run over there and try to grab her and get her out the way? Risking the fact that the car could hit you. What are you going to do? You don't have to answer that, because that answer is between you and God.
Mm-hmm.
God is the only one that's looking at what you would do in these situations, because he's looking at you saying, I thought she told the world she belonged to me. I thought she said she was a Christian. I thought she said she knew me. If she knew me, she would know my love. That's not my love. A lot of times we don't even recognize what we're doing is not representation of God's love. When you're hurting someone, when you're not helping someone, come on now. Yeah. You know what? It does my heart good when I go to a grocery store and I see somebody trying to get some stuff, and then all of a sudden they say, how much is it? And they say $10 or whatever it is. And they go, oh, okay, I'll put those things back. And you look at it, and it's milk, and it's, you know, bread. And they go, dang. And somebody else jumps up and goes, just go ahead, get it all, and I'll pay for it. You know what that person does? The other person turns around, and I've seen it. And they go, thank you so much. But guess what? They so grateful that even on their way out of the store, every time they see that person, they go, thank you again. Thank you so much. They get in the parking lot. Thank you again for helping me out. Thank you so much. Because they were appreciative. and God sent the right person along at the right time that would allow you to get your stuff, Kathy. Because that would have been me that didn't have enough money. And someone paid for me. And so now what do? I look for the opportunity to do it for someone else. Everything we do, God is watching us. But he's also watching what we don't do. VeggieTale says, when you know to do right and you don't do it, it's just as bad as if you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Come on now. God is trying to get us. You know why? I don't know if you guys are aware of this. I've had about 4 calls this week. And one of the pastors said, she said that she's stuck on Christianity. Huh? And I said, okay. That's what I said. I said, okay. She said, but my husband is not. I said, what are you talking about? Now, you know I know Bishop. And you can't tell it. She said, no, he's turned over to this Hebrew Israelite thing, and they got a lost Bible that they, I said, what? She said, but I don't want to go with him. I don't want to follow him over. She said, Pastor, I don't know what to do. That's my husband. I've always supported him. And I'm thinking in my mind, help me, Holy Ghost, real quick. And I say to her, I would never try to tell anybody anything to break up a household and not get a husband or a wife to follow one another. I said, all I can tell you, me and my household, I'm going to follow you as long as you're following Christ. If you start following, doing other things, I'm not going to follow you. I'm going to try to pull you back over this way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going out in the deep end with you. I don't love anybody more than I love God. So if I see you turning away from the God that I believe in, that's your choice. But if I try to show you this is wrong, you know, I'm not going to defend the Bible. The Bible defends itself. I will make some attempt to get you to come and continue in this way. But if you choose not to, I'm not going to mess with you. I'll let you go. I'm just not going with you. I said, but that's me. I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in Christianity. If the Bible, she said, he's found some lost Bibles or something they're starting to teach on. I said, well, lost, leave it where it was. Who told you to go dig it up? If it's lost, let it stay lost.
A lot of people is going into that, the lost
Bible. They're going into other things right now.
Yeah.
And okay, so there's some lost book to the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, everything that we need to know, isn't Jesus unctioning the Holy Spirit to tell us? And right now, I don't know about anybody else, right now the Holy Ghost is telling me to just be careful because they're sneaking up on people, right? And they're showing you a little bit of good and making you think this is the way. And then you get in there, and they got all these restrictions. You can't say Lord. You can't say Jesus.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And I'm going, are we there? Are mm-hmm. we already there?
Of course. We're in the last days.
Oh, my God. So much is going on right now. But anyway, I know we only got a few minutes, and I've been talking. Please excuse me. I just get so caught up sometimes. But I want to give you a few minutes to share whatever's on your heart in regards to what we talked about. Sister Barbara, are you still there, dear heart?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, go ahead. Share with us what you may want to share right now.
Well, I just think that, you know, we can't judge people, and we may know, you know, they drink, they lie, they smoke, all of that. We leave that for God to do, and we just, you know, if we can, share their gifts, you know, and God will do whatever he needs to do to make it what it ought to be.
Okay. I didn't catch the last part. You said let them share their gifts?
Let them be, you know, choir directors, pianists, whatever, preachers even. and God will do what he needs to do if he's in it.
Okay, so you're saying, yeah, I'm listening. I have to process. So you're saying, regardless of the person's lifestyle, that they could be leaders. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm saying when they come to the church, most times we don't even know their lifestyle. They just come. And unless they're flaming, you know, flamboyant, whatever, we don't know. So when they get into that position, I'm thinking, you know, choir directors, musicians, or whatever, it may come out. Unless you know how they are in the community, you don't even know. So allow them to come and lead. And if God is in it, he will do what God needs to do. Sometimes they leave. They can't stay. They don't want to stay. Somebody crosses them or whatever. They cross somebody. So we let God do the judging.
Right.
You know, he says, come one and come all.
Mm-hmm. Come as you are.
God is doing the judging. But if his word tells us, and he is his word, it is telling us that if you know this is the condition of this person, they are not to be in leadership at that time. And you're saying, well, you don't know. Okay, if you don't know, you don't know. I'm talking about the ones that you know, either they have shown you or they have told you, and you know. Because most of the time, guess what they're going to do? They're going to sit down, the leaders, the elders, the deacons, they're going to sit down and have a conversation with you before they put you in leadership. And they're going to tell you what the requirements are for their church for you to be a leader. They're going to say, are you saved? Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? And they're going to go down their list of what they're saying according to the word of God that they pulled out, that this is what they expect of you. And if you say, well, no, not all of that, then they're saying, you come back when you are ready to adhere to what God has told us to make standards for the leaders of this house.
Well, I just have to say that a lot of churches don't do that. They don't sit them down. They just allow the person to rise up. And like I said, they find out later on something different. And again, some of the people who are like that are pastors. So, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Unless you leave the church, the pastor's not leaving. So what do you do?
Well, if they're not the founder, they can leave.
Huh?
If they're not the founder, if the pastor is not the founder of that church, you can vote them out. They can vote them out, and they have.
Right. If they choose to, if they want them out. But sometimes they are so anointed that they don't even want them to go. Oh, I know they're this. I know they're that. We love him or we love her. So, you know, we just close our eyes to that, and we love the sinner and we hate the sin. Not saying it's right, I'm saying all churches don't, you know, vet people. They just allow them to come forth and to move up and leadership and all of that. They accept them.
Okay. I respect what you're saying, and thank you for sharing that.
A lot of them accept certain things because they don't want to lose their congregation. So they're more like, you know, worried about what the world is saying than they do about what God is saying.
Mm-hmm. And we know that some of it is because how much money that person brings to the church and so forth and so on.
Right.
But my thing is, all I have to go by is the word. If the word says, here's the standards for leaders in the church, then I have to go by those standards, unless God tells me different.
Right.
So if he gives me the standards, and I'm going by these standards. And I know the churches that I was in, and this is why I love those three pastors that I had, that were going, allowing God to lead their church, not them. So they'll show you scripture, sit there, talk with you about everything. You know, they're not judging. They're saying, this is what the requirements are to be a leader. Plus, you got to pass these tests, right? Because some people look like they're gifted, and you put them in certain roles, and that's not where they're gifted. So I love the fact that the churches that I'm speaking of, they have a leadership standard, but they're going to sit you down individually when you say God has called me to this leadership position. And I know I've been through those conversations sitting there, and they said, tell us why you called, and when did you hear the calling, and they going through all of that, and you sitting there and you telling them, because guess what? They're not trying to say you're not calling, whatever. They're listening for your passion. They're discerning where you are. Are you sitting there just rambling on and on? Oh, yeah, I knew. You know, every time I hear somebody sing, I want to sing. They're going to like, okay, so that's why you think you called, because you heard somebody else sing? You know, rather than someone going in depth, and you can hear that passion coming out of their mouth for what they've been called to do. And then they're saying, all of us are going to make mistakes. If the mistakes are known in this church, we believe in sitting people down. Are you going to be okay with everything we're sharing with you in regards to our leadership? Everybody can come to this church. Everybody can have a good time. But the leaders hold a different standard. And I'm looking at them, and I'm going, oh, okay. Well, you might want to pray about it. Because regardless what your reasons were for doing it, once it is made known and we come to you and we ask you and we verify, you could be sat down. So hearing what we expect of our leaders here, is this the position you still want to take on? And then it's up to you.
Right.
Right? That's if you're going to be honest and say, this is, you know, and most of the time, I've been in some of those conversations because I had to be that third person. And they'll say, you know, I'm not trying to judge you, but what you want, a man or a woman? And they look at you and go, what difference does it make? It makes a difference because, as you can see, we have requirements for our leaders. Well, I'm a woman. Were you born that way? Because now we can see that you're not. Now you're going to be baptized as a man or a woman. And you go into all of that and say, we want you to lead in this church. But we cannot allow you to lead in that manner because you're going to lead them in a different direction. Because once they see that, they're going to think it's okay, and it's not okay. We're going against the very word of God that is training us how we are supposed to have godly standards. It says deacons and elders, be sober-minded, self-control. All of these things are requirements by God for his leaders. We're not just making this up. It's a requirement. So, yeah, if you're going to do it God's way, you've got to pull that person in there and say, okay, here's a sheet, and this is what we require of our leaders. And if you are able to agree to this and know that this is your lifestyle, then yes, we can go to the next step and bring you in as a leader in this church. That's if people are taking it serious. And they understand that God has standards. If you just throwing someone in there because they're gifted, oh, my goodness. There's a whole lot of folks that's gifted that God didn't tell you to put there. Why are you looking at the gift? You're supposed to look at the individual. Mm-hmm. What is this individual going to teach my congregation by being in leadership? I'm glad that I went to those apostolic churches. They're very strict, And I'm going, yeah, what about this person? What about this person? And they look at me and go, what about you? That's the only person you need to worry about is you. And I'm going, yeah, but don't worry about them. We know what we're doing. And I'm going, it don't look like y'all doing anything because they still, you know, and they telling me, Steve, you're not ready. I'm not ready. What about him? He's not ready. The very reason that you still pointing fingers looking at someone else to see whether or not they're ready lets us know you're not ready.
Exactly.
And I'm going, okay, all right, whatever. I'll be back. And then when I get to the point that I understand, they're not asking me if the other people are ready. They're only wanting to know, do I believe I'm ready?
That's right.
And once I got to that point and I went back in there, and before I could even really get into much, I started talking, and I could see Bishop going, look at you acting like a grown-up. And I'm going, wow, I didn't even know they could tell all that. Yeah, they're listening. They're discerning. But what's happening is, and I'm going to have to bring it to a close, what's happening is we're lowering the standards, and we think it's okay because the person is gifted. Just because they're gifted doesn't mean they're going to make it into heaven. But okay, let's not judge them. We don't know where they're going. But we do have a say as to who is going to be in leadership in this household. And I'm one of those pastors. Led by God is going to be led by God. God is going to give us the standards, and then we're going to have meetings for leadership, and then we're going to sit there with each individual that has been called to be a leader and say, are you going to uphold these standards? Because I'm not going to get in trouble for nobody. And if you want to look at me and say, well, don't judge me, don't do this, I ain't doing anything. I'm using the Word of God. And if I can give you scripture, then that lets me know I'm doing the very thing that God has called me to do. And I'm not going to apologize for doing it God's way.
Why should you?
But, you know, and then you got to look at it because there is a fine line between doing it God's way and just judging. And that's the line we don't want to cross. We don't want to enter into that zone. Right? So educate them on the things that God says, leader, it's like this right here today. He said all these people that are addicted to these things and it's habitual and compulsive behavior within them, they should not be teachers. And it tells you, thank you, God, it tells you Titus 1, verse 7, chapter 2, verse 3, 1 Timothy 3 and 8, 1 Timothy 3 and 3. Well, I'm looking at your time, and I don't want you to have to spend more money.
Just give the scriptures again, please.
Titus chapter 1, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 3.
Chapter 2.
1 Timothy 3 and 3.
1 Timothy 3 and 8. 1 Timothy 3 and 8.
You can look at Matthew 22:37 and 38.
Matthew
22? 22
verses 37 and 38.
Okay. And these are just some of them that I'm looking at where it says to train them that if they have addictions, they're drunkards, and they're not clearly thinking. They're not sober. There's no self-control. It's clear that they should not be leaders in the church. And that's not us saying, oh, this is what we require. We require what the Word of God requires. But I'm going to keep on teaching until God tells me don't teach no more. And I'm going to teach it the way that when I look at it and I pray and I get guidance from God, this is the way I'm going. And I knew that he told me it wasn't going to be easy for me. And I didn't understand because I was young. And, my question to him was, if there's going to be adversity, why would you call me to do this? Because I know you're going to stand firm. I'm giving exactly what I give you. And just so you know, that's one of the reasons I get beat up a lot, you know, because I'm using the word of God. And I get beat up because they're saying, if it's God's gifting and God's this, who are you to come up with a standard? And I'm saying, I'm not coming up with a standard. Look at the word of God. It's his standard. But anyway, we're going to continue this next week. Look at VeggieTales Saturday mornings, 8:30. And even though they're talking to the kids, they break it down so much you can get some good teaching out of there.
I don't get them anymore. I changed.
Oh, you don't get TVN?
No, I changed my cable company. And if I do, they're way up in the thousands.
Okay, but here, if you want to see VeggieTales,
uh-huh.
All you got to do is go to Google, type in VeggieTales on YouTube, and it'll pull them right up, all the episodes.
VeggieTales,
and then type in on YouTube, and it'll pull them all up.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
I appreciate the morning.
Everything that you say, I don't take it lightly. I honor you guys for everything that you share. And while we are not trying to judge, we are still going to follow God's standards, though.
Amen.
No, we don't want to judge. But no, we don't want to let down God's standards either, okay? But just understand, there is a fine line. So when you think you're crossing over that line, you might want to get the word, and the word is going to tell you, which is the Holy Ghost, Jesus, his word. It's going to tell you when you've crossed over and you're going too far and you're starting to judge. We're not trying to judge. We're trying to hold godly standards. Amen?
Amen.
Precious and Heavenly Father, just want to say thank you, oh God. Thank you for constantly enlightening us and teaching us in the way you would have us to go. Thank you, God, when we get off the right pathway, that you're there. You're there to assist us to get back into the way that you call the pathway to righteousness, the way that's going to get us into the kingdom of God if we so desire to be there. We thank you, oh God, that we have a Savior. We have someone that's continuing to lead and guide us in the way we ought to go. Even down here, you have sent your Spirit to aid us in what we should do and what we should not do. So we thank you, God, that we're not relying on our own self, that all we have to do is to give ear to hear what thus says the Lord through the Spirit of God. And so we thank you, God, for just being there. We thank you for everything that you're allowing us to be educated on so we don't drift slowly but surely in the wrong direction. We want to continue to walk in the ways of the Lord. Thank you for all that you've done, doing, and are going to do. We love you. We honor you. We bless your holy name. Bless everybody on the line and their households. Continue to lead and guide us in the way you would have us to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back to you, Evangelist Hilda.
God bless you, ladies. Have a wonderful
God bless
weekend.
You guys. Love you. Enjoy.
See you tomorrow.
See. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How's your mouth?
She left.
I thought she said I'm here. Okay.
No, I was saying I'm here, but I said Pastor Kathy left. You know, she leaves so fast because she doesn't wait for a response, you know. But anyway, hopefully she'll be on tomorrow.
And I'll see you tomorrow, but I will not be on next Saturday. I have a prayer breakfast.
Okay.
Starts at 10, so I don't know how long it's going to be, but I think at least an hour.
All right, that's fine.
Because at least I know in advance.
Well, that's why I'm telling you.
Okay.
I will speak it last, and if it's conducive for me to come on, maybe after 11, I don't know. I'll try to do that because it is virtual. Okay?
Okay. So God bless and have a good day.
So love you. Shalom.
Love you too. Shalom.
And we're out.